You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring anyone who wants to listen, who wishes to listen, who can listen to this, the School of Mary, a simple kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined every week by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us today live from Maryville, Tennessee. Yes, you heard right. Maryville, Tennessee. You can't make this stuff up. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me bring in Mother Gabriel and the Benedictine Daughters from Tennessee. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter, hello, and everyone out there. Nice to be with you all again.
It seems like it was just yesterday, and yet it seems like it was last year. It's just so odd, you know, the timing. I mean, we wish we could do this. It does. We wish we could do this every hour. But, you know, Mother, with Our Lady, you know, we make that Louisa made that supplication. It could be our supplication as well. She is divulging these secrets to us. She's constantly, and her son, constantly informing us of the truth. And you know, and Our Lady actually explains, gives us the definition in the language of heaven. She states in Meditation Number 1, also in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, she states that a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding, which is so ironic because a lot of times in our modern day vernacular, we take the word secret as being something nefarious, something not good, being hidden, you know, why you're not sharing. But actually, it's a subtle compliment. Our Lord and Our Lady are only revealing these secrets or these truths because they feel they know that we're capable of understanding. And that's why, you know, we hear a lot about artificial intelligence, AI. I like to focus on the NI, which is natural intelligence, which is the God-given wisdom that God has presented to us to see everything through the lens of God. And I actually found that. I'm not crazy. I actually found this in a book called The Catechism of the Summa. Don't be too impressed. I just found it in the bottom of a box, and I opened it up, and I found something that resonated with me. And in section 7, it says, of the gift of wisdom, which corresponds to charity. And then the question is this: is there a gift of the Holy Spirit that corresponds to the virtue of charity? And the answer is yes. It is the gift of wisdom, which is the most perfect of all the gifts. What is the gift of wisdom? The gift of wisdom is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which affects that man under the direct action of the Holy Spirit, judges all things by reference to the highest and most sublime of all causes, which is the wisdom itself of God, as it is made manifest to us by faith, end quote. So we have something far greater than artificial intelligence. We have natural intelligence, inputted by God, outputted to us. Remember, artificial intelligence is only as good as what's put in. You can put nefarious things in, and that's what you're going to get out. So again, as we hear, again, another example, Mother, I think, of the mimicry, I guess, if there's even a word, of Satan, the other side, of always trying to counter God, which is, it's futile. He can't do it. He keeps trying, and we have to have some pity for him. Again, natural intelligence, God's trying to open our eyes right now, Mother.
Right. When we live for him, you grow in wisdom. Intelligent people outside of God, intelligent people become really stupid. You know, you see that in the world right now. This transvestites, all this crazy stuff going on, one-sex marriage, abortion. These things are ridiculous things that people have lost wisdom. They've lost intelligence. They're not They're not acting rationally anymore, because only the Holy Spirit will make you be rational and intelligent and wise. So, you know, you see people that really are uneducated that are more intelligent than the most educated people when they live for God and God alone. You know, you see that everywhere. I was just reading about charity here. It says charity, this is in volume 3, December 28th, 1899. Charity must be like a mantle which must cover all of your actions in such a way that everything must shine with perfect charity. So if you don't live charity, you're not living in God's divine will. If we're going to live totally in his divine will, we must become very charitable and kind toward one another. Why? Because the more you do acts and rounds in his divine will, the more you shrink, the bigger he gets in you, and you begin to see everyone through the eyes of Jesus. We see everything through the eyes, everyone through the eyes of Jesus. We fall in love with everyone. We love them. We're charitable and kind with them. We accept their idiosyncrasies more. We accept their faults. It doesn't bother us the same anymore. People get along with each other better. I witnessed that at this retreat this weekend that I was in, helping give the talks with Derek Williams, who was from England, an excellent speaker on the divine will. He gave half the talks and I gave them, and there were 180 people there, and they were so in love with each other. They were beautiful. They were like children, educated people, doctors, lawyers. They're just very down to earth, very simple, very loving, very kind. You felt like you were in a little bit of heaven. And I thought, you know, that's what heaven's going to be like, one big happy family. When you meet people who are truly trying to live in the divine will, it's like one big happy family. Goes on to say here that your charity is not perfect because suffering for love of me and not suffering for love of me without your will is all the same. So Louisa was complaining that she wasn't suffering because Jesus had given her that great gift of appreciating the cross, of desiring the cross. She felt that if she's not suffering the cross, he doesn't send her the cross, he doesn't love her anymore. And so, but he was trying to tell him, suffering or not suffering doesn't matter as long as it's my will. If it was his will for her not to suffer, that's what she should want. If it's his will for her to suffer, that's what she should want. And that's what we should want. God's will in our daily lives. What does God will for me at this moment? Accepting everything in the present moment, resignation to the cross. If he sends you the cross, everybody has crosses. We have different kinds of crosses. In volume 3, February 21st, 1900, it says, purity is obtained through mortification, and mortification renders the soul worthy of sympathy. Our Lord told Luis, he says, the gift of purity is not a natural gift, but an attained grace, and it is obtained by rendering oneself worthy of sympathy. Oh, how worthy of sympathy becomes a mortified and suffering soul. Oh, how striking she is, and I feel such sympathy as to go mad for her. And whatever she wants, I give to her. When you are deprived of me, suffer my privation for love of me, which is the most painful suffering for you. And I will feel more sympathetic than before and will grant you new gifts. They say the greatest suffering in purgatory is souls have seen God. They long to be with him and they can't be with him. He longs for them to come to them, him. But they have to be purified before they can stay in the presence of God, because God is so pure. God is so perfect. God is so fantastic. So Louisa was suffering that suffering of the absence of God. That was her greatest suffering. And we all suffer that. You go to prayer sometimes, you experience dryness in prayer. Mother Teresa experienced it all of her religious life. And yet she had joy. I met her. I spent some time with her in Italy. And she was always joyful. You didn't know that she was going through the dark night of the soul, all of her religious life. That was how God purified her. That was how God made her a greater saint. She continued to serve him with joy and resignation. And that proved her holiness, proved her sanctity.
And you know, Mother, also the privation that you speak about, that Jesus allowed Louisa to live and to experience, also, I think gives us a bit of an explication, also gives us a better understanding, like you said, of the pains of purgatory. Because again, Louisa was, she said she couldn't live without, you know, seeing our Lord. Then, of course, he was trying to use this opportunity to say, you don't have to see me to know that I'm with you. So many lessons, again, out of this one simple, as it appears, suffering, which is actually it's a grace disguised as suffering, like many are. Mother?
Yeah, it's the greatest purification and greatest gift. He says those who suffer the most with resignation have the highest places in heaven. We had a beautiful sister belonging to our community. She died since she was a victim, so Sister Maureen, and she suffered terribly. She had her leg amputated. She told me that was so painful when she had her leg amputated. They could hear her crying at the end of the throughout the hall in the hospital, and yet she had perfect joy. Now, how can you explain that? Suffering with joy and peace in her heart and soul. And she was always joyful, always had a smile on her face. So yes, you can. It doesn't mean that you're not going to feel the pain if you offer it up, if you allow yourself to suffer the pain that Jesus, you're resigned to it. It doesn't mean you're not going to feel it. You're going to feel it, but you're going to have this joy, grace, the grace of joy in your heart and soul, because it's a gift from God. It's the greatest gift, and it makes us more like him, because he suffered the cross. He suffered the terrible crosses for us. He says in these volumes, all his life he suffered the cross. It goes in volume 3, March 2nd, 1900. It says, I want suffering to be your nourishment, not only as suffering, but as the fruit of my will. The most sincere kiss which binds our friendship more tightly is the union of our wills and the indissoluble bond that will clasp us in continuous embraces will be the continuous suffering. Now, people say, why would Jesus want us to suffer? Because he gave value to the cross in his crucifixion, in his suffering on earth. He gave value to the cross. We become like him. What does he say in the scriptures? If you want to be like me, you must pick up your cross and follow me, carry your cross. Everybody, like I said, has crosses. The cross becomes much easier when you resign yourself to the cross. You just give your fiat. Our Lady gave her fiat. She suffered all her life too. We won't know until we get to heaven how much Our Lady suffered the cross. She's the co-redemptrix. Also, according to the message that Sister Ephraim received in Our Lady of America messages, St. Joseph is the co-redemptrix also, because he suffered the same suffering with them, knowing he was given a grace to know what they were going to suffer, Our Lady and Jesus, and he was not going to be there with them to suffer while they were suffering these things. You want to shun suffering, our Lord says, and I want you to begin a new life of suffering and of obedience. Just as the fire burns according to the wood that is placed in it, thus being more active in burning and consuming the objects that are thrown into it, and the greater the fire, the greater the heat and the light it contains. The same with suffering and obedience. The greater they are, the more the soul becomes capable of destroying what is material, and obedience gives her the shape it wants, like soft wax. So as we suffer the cross, we become more like Jesus. We get detached from everything in the world, and we become more and more attached to him. He's a jealous lover. He wants our whole hearts. He wants us to love him immensely. And so, you know, as we suffer the cross and we give our fiat, we become more like him. We become detached from everything and everyone. We get more joy. As you become detached from the things of the world and attached to him, your joy grows, your peace grows. So it's not a painful thing. It's a joyful thing. So that's how we're going to have perfect joy, is when we realize that nothingness that God wants us to realize on the side of his perfection. And it comes through accepting the cross, accepting all the inconveniences that happen in your life. Louisa didn't like the cross either at first. She lamented over the cross, but she got to love the cross because she realized the value of the cross. And all she wanted to do was serve God. You know, we have to want to live totally in his divine will. We have to want to be in heaven for all eternity, not for ourselves, but because we want to give honor and glory to God. She wanted to suffer the cross because that was God's will for her. And she longed to do his will and his will only. So as we grow in this, living in the divine will, we're going to long for that too. I'm not at that point either. I don't like to suffer, but I know it's a great, great value in my life. I know that I need that. I need that purification. Right. Mother Angelica told me that she never had a day without pain all of her religious life. And she says that's how God kept her in the place that she was supposed to be. He helped her grow in humility that way. If she would have had no pain, you know, she knows that she wouldn't have been able to do everything he was calling her to do. Through the cross and through all of her illnesses and inconveniences in her life, she was able to accomplish God's will in a big way with EWTN, right. WEW, and
right. You know, Mother, also, you know, the more we learn about the value and the preciousness of suffering, it's no wonder, it's no surprise that the world tries to downplay it at every moment. You know, we have painkillers for everything, and then the painkiller causes another problem, and you need something. Yeah. So the opposite, if you want to look at God, look at where the world is taking you and just go in the opposite direction. That's all you need to do. You know, I remember reading this one little white paper by a Monsignor James Anderson. I don't know him, but what he said was just so resounding with the divine will, but yet he wasn't speaking about the divine will. Again, how? Because all roads lead to the divine will. This is what he said. He said, for in the end, what is man in nature? A nothing compared to the infinite, and everything compared to the nothing. A midway point between nothing and everything, infinitely removed from understanding the extremes. I mean, I don't even understand that. But then he goes down to the bottom and he says, this appearance of what stirs in me, these light and fugitive acts of a shadow, carry in themselves, as I'm told, a responsibility, heavy with eternity. And even at the price of blood, I cannot buy nothingness, because nothingness is no longer possible. It seems that I am now condemned to life, condemned to death, condemned to eternity. End quote. We've received this gift. Everything has changed. And if we haven't this gift yet, just give. What do we have? You know, Mother, what do we have to lose? The world is falling apart. Right. God is saying, you need me, only me. Give it a try.
And this is God, time of God's mercy. Have to turn to him now. Purification is coming. Great, his justice will come. His justice is his love and his mercy, because he's trying to save our souls. And so the crosses will come for every person in the world in order to win them for heaven for all eternity. He knows that if purification doesn't come, if the cross doesn't come in our lives, we will not be transformed and many souls will be lost. So his last act of great love and mercy is to allow the cross in people's lives so that they can reach out to him, accept him, and their souls will be saved.
That's right. That's right. And again, it's all the nothing. Yeah. I remember another quote, but I'm like, I'll hold that for later on. Sister Magdalena, are you next? Hi.
Yes, just perfect timing for Mother to stop about, you know, the chastisement and all this. We don't have nothing to worry about, because really what in order for us to persevere in our suffering is to have a persevering love. That's really what it is all about. And the Lord tells us, you know, we need to persevere in our love for him, in doing acts and rounds for love of him, in order to survive all of these difficult times that we are facing now. And I have the volume 6, October 29, 1904, that fits for that, to continue what Mother is talking about. And you also, Peter, it's titled, "The Chain of Graces is Linked to Persevering Works. All evils are enclosed in lack of perseverance." And I would say this is the perseverance of perseverance in love. So Jesus tells us, and Louisa, my daughter, when the soul disposes herself to do some good, be it even saying one Hail Mary, grace occurs in doing that good. So if the soul is not persevering in doing that good, it shows with clarity that she has no esteem or consideration for the gift received, and she makes fun of grace itself. How many evils are enclosed in this way of operating? Today, yes. Tomorrow, no. I like it, I will do it. It takes a sacrifice to do that good. I don't feel like doing it. So how many times we find ourselves, you know, doing only things that we want to do because you don't want to do something that we don't want to do. And that includes, you know, suffering. And that the Lord's telling us that when we act that way, we are not doing his divine will. We're not persevering in our love for God, and because we only want to do things that we want to do. And so it lacks this seriousness and sincerity of our love of God. And God doesn't want to take anything lukewarm. We read in the passage in our office today that the Lord will spew out souls that are neither hot nor cold. So in order for us to really prove to God that we love him is to be persevering no matter what. And I continue here, everything everything is linked to the way of operating with perseverance. The chain of my grace is linked to persevering works, so if the soul makes some escapes, she breaks this chain. And who can assure her that it will be linked again? My designs are accomplished only in one who attaches his works to perseverance. Perfection, sanctity, everything goes along united with it. But if the soul is intermittent in operating without perseverance, like an intermittent fever renders the divine designs vain, dissolves her perfection, and makes her sanctity fail. So again, we found an example on Mother Teresa. She was persevering in everything that she did, and she continues to have this peace and the joy. And Sister Maureen, you know, whatever situations they were in, they kept this focus on loving God so that they kept their peace within themselves. There is no distractions in their heart because they are totally focused on God and they are persevering in their love. And they continue to love whether it feels good or not. And on November 13, 1904, also you mentioned, Peter, earlier about, you know, the importance of loving God naturally, you know, because the artificial intelligence are incapable, it's not capable of loving God. Truly, because it doesn't come from God. God did not give the artificial intelligence free will to do God's will. It's automatically programmed. So the natural will, the natural love that God gives us, this is what it's all about. The creature would never have been worthy of divine love without a free will. So this is the natural intelligence that we were talking about, wisdom. The wisdom of man comes from the wisdom of God. And so I will just read a short passage here that would explain that, you know, how God is telling us that without free will, without this gift of free will from God, which is grace, we don't deserve this, we will not be able to love God back. And therefore, it's not worthy of God's love. And he says, what would have happened to man without his own merits, without his own will in operating good? What impression would he ever have made? Would he ever have been an object worthy of my creative wisdom? Certainly not. Because the artificial intelligence is not going to persevere when pain comes. It's not capable of suffering. It's not capable of pain. And so only human beings have this wisdom to choose what is right and what is good, what is loving and what is not loving, what is evil and what is good. And we, through our human will, we can choose to continue to love God, to continue to do good, even if it doesn't feel good.
Right.
So
because soulless intelligence cannot be good intelligence in the long run.
That
soul must be present. That's why, they're trying to orchestrate these robotic armies where they don't have to eat, they don't have to drink, they don't have to sleep, they don't have to think about anything except how they're programmed. And again, if evil people program them, then they do evil as well. So again, it's nefarious. It's not good, but again, God's given us the antidote. We've got a couple minutes left, sister, if you'd like.
Just 2 minutes more, okay. Just to see, because in November 17, 1904, Jesus also tells us that when we do good out of love for him, we feed him. We become his food. Our souls become his food. And in this food, because he gave us his food first, he gave us his Eucharist. And what is this Eucharist? How is he feeding us with his Eucharist? Through his passion, through his suffering, his very life that constantly gives love to the Father. And so by our accepting living in the divine will, we're feeding Jesus in his word. And briefly, the passage here, he said, my daughter, just as I make myself food for the creature, so can the creature make herself my food, converting all of her interior into nourishment for me in such a way that her thoughts, affections, desires, inclinations, heartbeats, sighs, love, everything should end toward me. And I, on seeing the true fruit of my food, which is to divinize the soul and convert everything within myself, would come to nourish myself with the soul, that is, with her thoughts, with her love, and with all the rest. In this way, the soul could say to me, just as you have reached the point of making yourself my food, of giving me everything, I too have made myself your food. There is nothing left to give you, because everything I am is all yours. So Mother Teresa said, no matter what little things we do, we can do all little things, but with great love. We are not capable of doing great things. We can only do little things, but with great love.
Right. And that's really all that God's expecting of us. He knows our frailty. He knows our our wretchedness, not our deliberate sinfulness. He's not amused by it, but he is amused, I think, by our inability to do anything well. I'd like to go into the break with a quote. I don't know who wrote this, but it was shared to us by Father John Olin Brown when he was here back in, I think it was 2016 or so. And I'd like to go into the break with this. So the quote, "It's as if we were in a destructive, unhealthy situation, a demeaning love relationship, or an unfulfilling job. And after all the denials and rationalizations, we're struck by a moment of clarity, and it suddenly pops. An alternative has come into the world. There's no more balance sheet, no more judicious weighing of the various pros and cons. We just leave because we know we have to. Because now, thanks to Louisa, we can. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally."
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And again, thank you, Radio Maria. Thank you, Radio Maria, for this opportunity. I know we all we love the programming at Radio Maria. We love the 24/7 access to Catholic programming, which is so rare today. And but I remember one of the infomercials prior to our program that I heard. You know, imagine one day turning into Radio Maria or tuning in, and you hear nothing but silence. And is that a possibility? Well, everything is possible, of course. But we won't let that happen because, again, the greatest, one of the greatest pains that I know I've experienced is that what if feeling. What if I had done what I could have done when I could have done it? And that's something we don't want to experience. So if you can, again, God knows, well, there's two ways we can give. We can give spiritually. Everyone has that capability. And some of us have been blessed to be able to give financially. And God knows who we are, what we can do. So there's no pressure if we cannot do it, but if we can, as he says, he's watching, he's spying on us, he knows, so we can't fool God. So please go to radiomaria.us or simply call 888-408-0201. That's radiomaria.us or 888-408-0201. Again, we can't lose this gift. And again, there's so many, entities looking for any disposable income. Again, you have to look, if you've got limited resources like me, you have to look, where can the greater good be given? And I can assure you, again, every penny of your donation goes to the cause, unlike other big organizations where 90 cents out of the dollar you donate goes to administrative fees in order to collect that. So actually 10 cents goes to the source. So again, everything goes to this programming, this beautiful gift that Our Lady has started, she will ensure continues. And also, again, think about this, giving us all the opportunity to participate in whatever way we can. We could be home, on our couch, we could be in our car, we could be anywhere, and we're participating. We can say, I am part of the Radio Maria network. I am part of that incredible, incredible apostolate. So again, please go to radiomaria.us or call 888-408-0201. You know, Mother, a couple of quotes we learned from some secular people. I know Daniel Carnegie, pretty famous businessman here in the States, I think globally too. He said, you're never going to be good at anything unless you're having fun at it. So again, we try to bring the lighter side to this gift, because actually, if we really recognize the magnitude of this, we'd be paralyzed. What are we doing? We'd be stuttering all day. And I think the second facet, another quote to use that we need to inject into our daily lives, especially when journeying in the divine will, is by Ronald Reagan, who said, quote, there is no limit to the amount of good you can do if you don't care who gets the credit, end quote. Mm-hmm. We're in this together.
Right. We're in this together. And if you want to have a fun life, living in the divine will is the most fun life. I mean, we have so much fun. We're so happy. We our joy grows as the more that we seek and strive to live in his divine will and apply what we're reading into our lives. You know, you can't just read it. You got to let it soak into your heart, right, and soul, and really live it. And when you live in it, your whole family changes. You're happy. People around you are going to change. I saw that on this retreat, how beautiful these people were, happy with each other. They have their crosses. I mean, everybody does. You know, every person, I realized at that retreat, every person's life is a book. And if you read their book, you would be much more charitable and kind toward them. If you don't practice charity in your life, you can't live in the divine will. So charity is very important. And I just want to, you know, let you know that love and charity, the same thing. As you love people more, you're going to be more charitable. Only God can do it in you. You can't practice virtue on your own. You can only live in his divine will and let him practice the virtue in you. As you call him in everything you do, he's going to be reliving life in you. You're going to find yourself looking at others through his eyes, loving them with all your heart and wanting to do good for everyone.
Yeah, you mentioned that, Mother. I was just reading volume one, what Jesus tells us, reminds us that faith and hope give way to charity, and charity connects all the rest of the other two together, making them one.
And in eternity, the only one that will be left is charity, love.
Right.
Right. We won't That's need it. Faith and won't need hope for all eternity in heaven. We need it now in order to grow, but then it'll be love. Only love will be lasting. That's and right. love covers a multitude of sins. Those who love the most will have the highest places in heaven with those who suffer the most. But if you're going to love a lot, you're going to suffer a lot because love causes pain.
That's right.
You're gonna truly love.
That's right. Yeah, our Lord says, if faith makes one believe and hope makes one hope, charity makes one love. And that's exactly what you said, Mother. Thank you for that. Okay, back to you, Mother. Sisters, Sister Gloria, who is the intern IT specialist in Maryville, unbeknownst to her.
Hello. Mother talked about the suffering, and that's also what I like to talk about today. You know, this is only volume one, but here you can read how Luisa, she was burning with the zeal to suffer for her sins, you know, asking Jesus to give her sorrow for her sins and for the crucifixion. And because, you know, because Luisa, she knew what good the cross contains within itself, you know, how beautiful it can render a soul and what a gem of inestimable gems and values one can acquire from suffering the crosses. And of course, in our life, there are so many crosses, trials and difficulties. And if we don't see that value that the cross contains, then we just waste it. And maybe in the heaven, you know, we will regret, you know, we could have, we should have. So this
what
is
if,
a story.
Right? We just talked about
yes,
the what if.
I,
what if? Oh, no.
Yeah. What if I just, you know, like suffered it with resignation? What good could have, you know, could have come out of it? So this is a story that Luisa, she suffered for a man who was shot. He was shot by a gun and was almost, he was killed. As for example, one morning, while I was in my usual sufferings, my dear Jesus transported me outside of myself and showed me a man who had been killed by shots from a revolver and who was then breathing his last and going to hell. Oh, how much pain it was for Jesus, the loss of this soul. If the whole world knew how much Jesus suffers for the loss of souls, they would use all possible means so as not to become lost eternally. I'm not saying for themselves, but at least to spare our Lord that pain. Now, while I was in the midst of the bullets together with Jesus, Jesus drew his lips close to my ears and told me, "My daughter, do you want to offer yourself as victim for the salvation of this soul and make and take upon yourself the pains which he deserves because of his very grave sins?" And I answered, "Lord, I am ready, as long as you save him and restore his life." Who can tell the sufferings that came to me? They were such and so much, so many that I don't know how life did not leave me. Now, while I was in that state of sufferings, my confessor had come more than an hour earlier to call me to obedience. And because I was in great suffering, I could hardly obey. So he asked me the reason for such a state. And I told him the fact as I have described it above, telling him the place in town where it seemed to me that it had happened. The confessor told me that it was true, that they thought he was dead. However, then it became known that he was very ill, but little by little he recovered and he is still alive. May the Lord be always blessed. Truly, Luisa, she was a victim soul, but not only Luisa, but we are all called to be victim souls. And she became a living sacrifice in reparation for the sins of mankind. This is very Catholic teaching, and it is also based on the scripture. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. We are the members of the church of his body, so we should be, you know, filling up what's lacking to him because he can no longer suffer in his glorified body. And like in the past, there are other saints who are also victim souls. Like, for example, Saint Faustina. One time she was seized with such violent pains and she suffered for 3 hours and she even lost her consciousness. And later, Jesus made her realize that in that way, she took part in his agony in the garden. And then he himself allowed the sufferings in order to suffer reparations to God, you know, for the souls murdered in the wombs of the wicked mothers. And another time, Jesus told to Saint Gemma Gagani, my child, I need victims, strong victims, in order to appease the just anger of my divine father. I need souls who by their sufferings, trials, and sacrifices make amends for sinners and for their ingratitude. Oh, if I could make all understand how angry my father is by the impious word. So Saint Gemma, she was so ready to suffer anything in order to repair sins of her own and for the mankind. We are all, you know, called to be victim souls. And Jesus actually is calling us, inviting us to participate in his sufferings, because he knows that's the greatest gift, greatest grace he can give to us. Even when he was on earth, he did not choose riches or pleasures. He cherished cross, poverty, sufferings. This is what he did on our earth out of love for us. And when we suffer crosses, it is a pledge of love, you know, from us to God the Father. When we suffer crosses in resignation, we can make him happy, and make many souls can be free from the purgatory. They take flight towards heaven, and many sinners can be converted, and we can also participate in the good of his suffering. So we are actually called to be the living species. We live together with Jesus. We beat with one heartbeat, and Jesus, that can, he can communicate his pains to us so that he can continue his life in us on earth. So we are, as together with Jesus, We are asking him to live, relieve his life, to come to us from the sacramental species to us as a living species in order to continue his life on earth. So I read somewhere that the cross is the dowry that Jesus gives to souls. When we take the dowry that crosses, the marriage between Jesus and us, it can be established. So God is giving us the cross, is asking us, do you want to suffer for me together with me? Like when you love somebody, you don't just want to share happiness or joy. You want to suffer. You want to share everything of the person's life, whether that's happiness, sorrow, pain or death. You want to do everything together. So as our love grows deeper for Jesus, he is inviting us more and more to the sorrow, to the pain of his, so that we can be more, become like him and become more closer with Jesus.
That's so true. And you know what, this whole mode we're talking about here, you know, Mother really set the tone here with the crosses, and it's so great to come back to it. Meditation number one in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom is full of this. I mean, it's so beautiful. It helps us with the edification, with the understanding. And I just like to read a snippet from it, if I may. This is our Blessed Lady speaking. Quote, when one really loves, sacrifices and pains are refreshments. They are reliefs and outpourings of the love one possesses. Oh, my child, if you do not feel the good of sacrifice, you do not feel how it brings the most intimate joys. It is a sign that the divine will does not fill all your soul. End quote. So another test. If we're living in the divine will, are we embracing, again, not looking for them, but are we embracing the sufferings? Are we embracing these pains? Are we offering it? Again, there's no value to pain unless we unite it with the sufferings of our Blessed Lord. Mother, sisters. Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hello. So, yeah. So going along with the theme of like suffering and love, it really reminded me of just Saint Mary Magdalene, especially towards like the end of her life. And And an interesting fact is that when Luisa became a third order Dominican tertiary, she took the name of Sister Mary Magdalene. And I think that's perfect because I was reading in Voltorta too, like towards the end of St. Mary Magdalene's life, she was in a cave in France and she was doing a lot of penances. And then there was a point where she can't suffer anymore because she was like doing a lot of mortifications. Like she was putting like thorns around her waist and around her head. And then all she could do in that moment during the last moments of her life was just loving and just loving Jesus through her sufferings and just making like reparation for our past sins and contritions. And she was just like offering it all up to the Lord. And she was just persevering in all her sufferings. And towards the end of her life, Jesus comes to her and an angel gives her communion, which is like the consolation that comes after the cross. And so I like to read a part from March 22nd, 1937. Volume 34, where Jesus tells us about basically the need of love that the divine fiat feels for being loved in return. So in the divine will, we can love and suffer on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future, who have not, are not, and will not love and suffer out of love for Jesus. And then we can, and then some ways we can like mortify ourselves and like love with the same love of Jesus. So we don't have to like put like physical thorns on our body in order to mortify our flesh, unless God's calling us to do that. But for most of us, that's not what God's calling us to do. So for example, we can give up like foods we are attached to for like a penance or something.
That's us. But you talk about us.
Yeah.
We're talking about not eating too much sweets.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, when you feel inspired to, of course, like you do it out of love for Jesus and for souls. And right. and the beautiful thing about making like sacrifices in the divine will is that it's not just for yourself, it's like for all souls past, present, and future. And it's so beautiful because it's so hidden.
So come to my will, eat in my eating as I eat this candy for all those who cannot eat, will not eat.
Amen.
Yeah, that would work too.
It's skewing it a bit, but okay.
Yeah. We're going to get in trouble. We're going to get in trouble.
I know.
Yeah, I know. That's what
I couldn't resist.
Witness to Jesus.
Yeah. I'm there too. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. So Jesus tells us through Luisa, but do you know where our love goes to unload itself and to pause to rest a little in order to immediately take its flight so as to pour out its continuous love in the souls who live in my will? And this reminds me of how like the Holy Trinity, like they're going through like all generations and all over the earth to see who will be open to receive their love. And they don't pour out all their love to souls who are not open to receive it. So when we live in the divine will, we can ask Jesus to pour all those like gifts, blessings, and graces upon us that other souls reject. And also, Jesus tells us that because living in the divine will transports her everywhere, the first gift that it makes of the soul living in it is love. So we love with the same love of Jesus and even everyone. And then even later on in this passage, Jesus describes how beautiful it is for all the celestial inhabitants, like all the angels and saints in heaven, to hear the love of the one living in the divine will on earth. And yeah, so the key is just loving in the divine will, suffering with Jesus, and doing it on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future.
So I just, about that candy, though.
I know. I think we need to be balanced, like not too extreme, right. Not, you know.
Right.
It's okay, right. Just moderation. I want to share from volume 18. It's really good because this is like a confirmation of what Mother was. I think that day I read it like a week ago, and she was talking about the repeating, like the acts of doing your action rounds repeatedly because we are creatures of habit. And it's October 4, 1925. And it says, repeating the same good serve to form the water with which to water the seed of the virtues. And I don't have any like much time to go through this, but I just choose like what struck me the most. And Luisa is fusing herself in the most holy will of God, in the how he usually did, and she's asking Jesus, like, it shows that I am really a little child who can say nothing but the little story she has learned. And then what good comes to me by repeating, I love you over and over again. But what I was thinking of this, my adorable Jesus came out from within my interior, showing my I love you impressed everywhere in all of his divine person, on his lips, on his face, on his forehead, in his eyes, in the middle of his breast, on the back and in the center of the palms of his hands, on the tips of his fingers, in some everywhere. And with a tender tone, he told me, my daughter, aren't you happy that none of the I love yous that come out of you, you got lost, but all remain impressed in me? And then do you know what good comes to you by repeating them? You must know that when the soul decides to do some good, to exercise a virtue, she forms the seed of that virtue. By repeating those acts, she forms the water with which to water that seed in the earth of her heart. And the more often she repeats them, the more she waters that seed. So repeating your I love you for me procures for you the water with which to water and form the tree of love. Repeating patience waters and forms the tree of patience. Repeating your acts in my will forms the water with which to water and form the divine and eternal tree of my will. Nothing can be formed with one single act, but with many upon many repeated acts. Only your Jesus contains the virtue of forming all things and the greatest things with one single act, because I contain the creative power. But the creature, by dint of repeating the same act, forms the good she wants to do bit by bit. Through habit, the good or that virtue becomes her nature, and the creature becomes the possessor of it, and it forms all of her fortune. This happens also in the natural order. No one becomes a teacher by having read the vowels and the consonants once or a few times, but by repeating them constantly to the point of filling his mind, his will, and his heart with all the science that is needed in order to be able to be a teacher to others. No one feels satiated if he does not eat bite after bite the food that is needed in order to be satisfied. No one harvests the seeds if he does not repeat who knows how many times he's working his little field, and so with many other things. To repeat the same act is a sign that one loves, appreciates, and wants to possess that very act which he does. Therefore, repeat and repeat incessantly without ever tiring. So it's like what mother says over and over again, also, like, do your acts and rounds in the divine will. And I define, like, by repeating it and making it a habit, it becomes your nature, and you learn to appreciate, like, how to love more the divine will and making it your own. Because I think the volumes in the divine will also, Jesus is saying the same thing over and over again, but different, like, descriptions so that our soul can understand it. And the main thing is love, as how we said it earlier. And also, it's like becoming your own thing. So it's not more only God's will, but your will also, because he's now dwelling in you, and now dwelling in you, you become like him. And I think that's the best things that we can do, and just be one with him as how he wants us to be.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it all takes grace, you know, because it could be confusing, you know, where Jesus says, you know, there are a certain amount of acts and rounds you must make. And then he'll say in another breath, well, it's not how many acts and rounds you make. Again, we have to draw a delineation here. What I think he means is, again, it's quality over quantity. I make this act. I mean, that would serve no purpose because there's no substance behind it. It's really what's in the heart. So again, that's a balance. And again, it's something that really takes discipline. And how can we learn that discipline? How can we acquire it? Only through God. Mother, final thoughts. We've got about 2 minutes, maybe three.
All this act in the divine will is great because Jesus is doing it. So the smallest suffering that you may suffer, a prick on the finger, if you say, Jesus, come suffer this in me, it's much greater than somebody else suffering great sufferings, but not in God's will. So, you know, it's your desire. You desire him to do everything in and through you, desire him to suffer in you. And it's not only words. I mean, we're not just saying words here. We really believe in it. It's our faith. And what these writings tell us, it really happens when you invite Jesus to do an act in you. He is doing that act in you. When you invite him to suffer in your suffering, even the smallest sufferings become magnificent when you invite him into that suffering, whatever it may be. So, you know, it's all about dying to self in every little thing that we do throughout the day, and making mortifications. Right now it's Easter time. We got a lot of Easter candy going around. You may want to mortify yourself and say, maybe I don't need to eat that candy, and die to yourself with that. It'd be better for your body, better for your soul. And you'll be doing a magnificent act when you ask Jesus to deprive yourself of these sweets and different things, but asking Jesus to do it in you, it becomes a big act, a great act, a magnificent act, an act of the cross, of Jesus doing that suffering within your suffering. So Amen. We want to do that in everything.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mother. Again, Jesus in volume one tells us, quote, what you have gone through is nothing yet. Prepare yourself for harder trials, end quote. So time to get in. Time to embrace this gift. Give it a try. You have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Be to God for this opportunity. Thank you, Radio Maria, for this opportunity as well. Mother, for your vocation, for your fiat. Sisters, for your fiat.
Thank
your,
you. Your, thank your you. God bless you.
Tone.
God bless you all. God love bless you all. We love and, you all.
Keep the faith. We're in this together. We're in this together.
We are. We are. Yes. God bless you all.
Be to God. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.